This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds. It's week 31 of 2020. This week in the home theater, we're going to be talking about Twister. But first off, I'm DJ. This is the home theater podcast that talks about what we do in our theater, the movies we watch, the things we do, the scenes we like, the fun we have in our theater once we've built our theater. But before we get to any of that, let's talk about what you guys have been talking about this week. And we'll lead off with an email from John M. So John emailed me about 4K discs at Walmart. I won't go into the entire conversation, but he sent me a link to a YouTube page. I believe it's Films at Home. The guy's name was Jeff. But I watched the video, and the title of the subject was Disney and Walmart are killing 4K Blu-ray. And he goes on to explain that Walmart's not carrying as many Blu-rays and Walmart's not carrying as many 4K Blu-rays and Disney isn't releasing the Fox films. And basically what he describes is that Walmart has stopped releasing any 4K discs that are over $15, unless it's a big budget film. And Disney isn't really releasing any of the Fox movies that they just acquired. We haven't seen these movies come out. I won't go into full details, but I'd just like to give my opinion on this. I don't think either of these things is a bad situation right now. Would we like these Fox movies? Yes. I'll deal with Disney first. Do you think Disney isn't about making money? It makes me laugh that people think that Disney's all about the dollar and it's like, oh, all they care about is making money. But then you hear criticisms that they don't want to put something out. Well, it doesn't mean it's never coming out. I think you can't just roll everything out all at once, because then it would be you would get oversaturated and us as consumers would be like, okay, well, I'll only pick like my favorite five. Say 100 movies came out and you'd be like, I pick my favorite five and I'll buy those right now. And then maybe you forget about the rest or whatever. But if you roll them out strategically and then it's like, and you have an ad campaign for each of them, you can hit us gradually with each of these movies. So I don't think that these movies aren't coming out. I think it's eventually they will be rolled out and look for some at Christmas and look for some, you know, basically strategically rolled out. Now, Walmart, how can Walmart kill 4K Blu-ray by not selling it? I don't believe that really hurts it. We all have access to Amazon. We all have access to other stores, whether it be a Best Buy or something like that. If the only thing you can get to is a Walmart and you can't get anything else, you're probably not watching 4K. Because if you would think you would, if all you can do is afford to go to Walmart, you're not interested in a 4K disc that's over $15. And Walmart, they don't do these things because they don't want to make money. They do these things because their demographics are telling them, their statistics are telling them that their demographic won't really spend a lot of money over $15 on some of these older titles for 4K. So they'll carry them in Blu-ray or on DVD. I mean, look at the Blu-ray DVD sales. Those are much higher than 4K. So why would Walmart want to sell that? That's like saying, why isn't Walmart selling Martin Logan speakers? You know, I don't think just because you can't buy it there, it doesn't mean it's killing the format, because we can buy it elsewhere. But it was interesting to listen to, and it's something to talk about. Now let's get to some of the tweets that came in this week. Brian Fuller at Brian_Fuller7 regarding last week's podcast says, the opening to this film is crazy. I think I'll watch it tonight, talking about Inception. Adriano the Nerd at AdrianoTweets87. He also, regarding Inception last week, how my senses feel after watching the Blu-ray again this afternoon. I'm not sure how my house is still standing, to be honest. And then Adriano also tweeted, the face you make when the rear surrounds are going mental watching the intro scene to Six Underground. Just had to watch that scene again this afternoon after you mentioned it on the podcast. And he had a picture of Ryan Reynolds looking behind him with this big surprise, big eyes wide open, surprised look on his face. It was actually, the picture worked perfectly for what he said, looking at your rear channels. But yeah, it's that Six Underground is awesome. And sorry, Adriano, here we mentioned it again in this week's podcast, so I guess you're gonna have to go watch that scene again. And we got a tweet from Hannibal_ad_Portis. His call sign is at GRN Pony, and this is regarding the video games. And he says, at Brightside HT, Xbox, and Atmos. It is awesome. Yes, it hasn't been a smooth implementation, but games like Gears of War work incredibly. Gears is Microsoft's, quote, look how pretty Xbox is, end quote, game, and uses real Atmos and is one of the better Atmos experiences at home, period. To which I replied, well, now you have my interest piqued. I'll have to check that out. And I haven't bought it yet, but I will check it out. I'm very interested in hearing how that sounds, and whether I play it or my son plays it, we'll definitely check that out. And it sounds like it's a lot of fun. I mean, if you're saying it's one of the best Atmos experiences at home, period, that's pretty good. But he also replied with, at Brightside HT, the Xbox does lie to your receiver about getting an Atmos signal. But Xbox games that are in Atmos, like Gears 4 and 5, work great. I'll put the Xbox Gears Atmos experience up against any movie on the market. Yeah, again, sounds great. I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, the Xbox having the issues with the receiver, the lying, quote unquote, you know, that's the stuff that makes you like, because it just, you know, it kind of shies you away. It's like, why go with, I'll go with something that's like a little bit more, quote, trustworthy, I guess. I don't know. But then there's another conversation that happened this week on Twitter regarding Mulan coming out on Disney Plus for $29.95. Ara actually mentioned it, that he's going to be talking about it on his podcast. I was waiting. I was going to talk about it on my podcast. I didn't really comment on Twitter, but Steve jumped in, Steve George at Legal Beagle. Okay. He commented. Some other people commented. I haven't heard Ara's comments yet. His podcast isn't out as I'm recording this. I got to imagine it's the same, but I did get some additional information in the meantime. So when I was doing my podcast the other day with my buddy John at the Brightside Chat, he added in the part that when you buy it for $29.95, you own it for as long as you have Disney Plus. So, of course, you have to go on and get Disney Plus, and that if you're not a Disney Plus member, then you got to purchase the movie, but then you own it. It's not a one-time rental. And I thought that changed it a little bit. But it's going to be interesting to see how this works out, because I feel like it's still a lot of money, because we know eventually it's going to be there for free. So, and that's what a lot of the opinions were. It's like most of the people that would really want to purchase this are people like ourselves, home theater enthusiasts that want to get the full experience of something like this. And, but we're going to wait and get the 4K disc for that, especially in it, because it's a kids movie. This isn't like it's a big budget. Maybe if this was like an Endgame type movie or Wonder Woman, maybe that would work on Wonder Woman. Not maybe. I know I would buy Wonder Woman. I hate to say it. I don't care what they would charge. Wonder Woman, Black Widow, any of these bigger budget films, even Tenet. I'm not really sure I would just jump at the chance to buy this for $30. On a streaming platform, because now you're paying 4K disc money for something that's streaming. And in my opinion, I'm like, there would have to be a reason for me to do that. Like my buddy said, he's like, look, I go to the movies. I probably spend more than $30, but you're going to the movies. You're getting to go to the theater. And I know, Steve, you don't like going to the theater. I know a lot of people don't right now, but there is something to going to the theater. So if people don't want to go to the theater, maybe this is going to appeal to them. But there's a segment of the population that, yeah, I can justify. Yeah, I can justify spending $50 for me and my wife to go to the theater, see a movie, have some popcorn, because it's a night out. But for us to go downstairs to the theater and spend $30 to watch a 4K streaming. I can't say I wouldn't do it, because I know I would. They could charge $50 for Wonder Woman, and I would be like, day one, gotta have it, gotta see it. So I don't know. It's all depends on the need. I don't feel like this is the wave of the future, because I don't think it would work for every movie, as I've stated. But it is interesting. The landscape is changing. Like we were saying last week, with Universal coming to that agreement with AMC, things are changing. Things are going to be streaming a little bit sooner now. And, I mean, where the benefit of it, where it's really going to pay off, is when we can get 4K disc quality through a streaming or a download, like Ara and I were talking about. But who knows? Who knows? But it is interesting. It is fun to watch. It'll be interesting to watch the money that Mulan makes, and track how they're making their money and where they're making their money. It's not going to be any more of this, oh, just the box office numbers. We're going to be looking at everything from now on, because they're going to be counting every dollar and see where they can make their most money. So very interesting. And this morning I got a tweet from OD Photography at OD Photography 1, asked a question at Brightside HT, thoughts on Matrix movies in 4K, worth the upgrade? And I answered, I think so. I've only really concentrated on the first one. I've seen the other ones and I like those movies, but I haven't really done a deep dive on those yet. I did do a deep dive on The Matrix, and in 4K, I thought that, first off, the green tinting that they did was much improved throughout the movie. You could really tell the difference between the, quote, digital world and what was the real world. I'm also putting up quotation fingers for real world in this. The Atmos was really good. Really, really good. The bass, it was really nice. It's quite an upgrade for sound. But the picture, I thought, was a really, really good upgrade. I'm usually not that big on picture. I'm more of a sound guy. So I don't really notice differences in picture that much. And that I'm saying that because I did notice a difference here. It doesn't mean I shouldn't say I don't notice a difference. I can see a difference. I'm not blind, but it doesn't mean as much to me. So I don't look for like the little intricacies that are like, well, that seemed like a little bit too much. You know, there's some wiring going on here and this and that. I don't get into that. I try to let the movie wash over me, but this movie in particular, the details in the shadows and all the dark scenes were really nice. And like I said, that green tint that this movie has, it was really evident, and they did a really good job of using the real world from the digital world contrasting each other. I thought the 4K was much better. I did a lot of A-B-ing with this movie, and it was a lot of fun to do that, and there was a difference. So in my opinion, I think the 4K is a definite upgrade, especially for the first movie. And obviously, you know, going forward, I haven't done a deep dive on the other two, but I imagine they would have the same level of attention given to them. So the last one I have for this week before we get to Twister is an email. It's kind of long, but I wanted to read the whole thing because of kind of how it made me feel. And you'll understand. I'll explain why when I'm done with it. So this email comes from Jason, and Jason says, DJ, I recently heard your episode with Ara from the HT guys, and I enjoyed the format of your show and decided to drop you a line. I don't have a 5.1 setup. One of the best parts of home theater is window shopping and looking at other people's theaters. By the way, your theater looks awesome. But I did recently get my first OLED TV, the LG C9 65-inch, and it's been a lot of fun diving into the world of 4K movies, coming from a Samsung plasma. I was also shocked to see how much 4K there was on Netflix and Disney Plus, etc. It's also been cool watching Netflix originals in Dolby Vision and Atmos. My Pioneer receiver does simulated Atmos with 5.1 called height virtualization, which gives me an idea. I'm sure it's not the same thing, but the stuff that I've watched has sounded great. I haven't gotten a 4K Blu-ray player yet. Now for my recommendation. Have you watched The Witcher on Netflix? It's a great fantasy show. I also read the books, also a series of video games. So I'm pretty familiar with it if you have any questions, but the sound mix in the third episode called Betrayer Moon is pretty fantastic, but probably the showpiece for the entire season is a huge battle in episode 8 titled Much More, although I recommend watching the entire season. In this episode, there are arrows and other things exploding overhead, and I thought it sounded pretty epic. The height virtualization sounds great, but might be imagining the sounds overhead, lol. I would love to know how it sounds in a dedicated Atmos setup. I also appreciated what you and Ara said about not needing to go directly to the Atmos setup to take your time and work your way up to it. It made me calm down a bit, lol. I love your excitement for films and in particular the sound mixes. The HT guys mostly talk tech stuff and don't get into movies much, so it's great to hear you talk about that aspect. I'm going to go back and listen to your past episodes. I just listened to your Ready Player One episode and enjoyed it, as I really love that film, and I bought it on Vudu so I could check it out in Dolby Vision. Thanks for the fun podcast. I'll keep listening. And first off, thanks, Jason. Thanks for the compliments. And the reason I wanted to read that whole thing is because when I first read this, I was like, wow, this reminds me of when I was younger and I was building my theater. And when I say I was building my theater, it was always in my mind. So I had my first theater, like I've said here on the podcast, was in my parents' house in my bedroom. And I set up a 5.1 system. Well, it was a Dolby Pro Logic, but it was a 5 system because I didn't have a subwoofer. But my point is, it's like your system is never ever done. Even when you get your big system and you think you're there, you're always looking to upgrade. So you are always window shopping. But that's what when I first started this podcast, I said that, like, just even if you just have a sound bar, you have a home theater in your head. So you're imagining, like Jason is here, he's imagining those sounds overhead. And it's like, maybe they aren't there, but your mind is putting them there. And that's what gets you into these movies. And that's what makes this so much fun. And it's like, if you don't, you might not have a dedicated room with, you know, 11 channels and 2 subwoofers, or 13 channels and 4 subwoofers and a projector and a big screen, but you do in your head. And what I mean by that, and I said it many, many times, if you have that passion, you'll get there. And it is the fun part is getting there, because once we get there, we're not done. We want to get to the next thing. So the fun part is the building, the growing. And that's why I've said to Ara, that's why I've said to the AV Rant guys, it's like their podcasts are so successful because people like us, it's not like we get our system done and then we're done listening to them. It was like, well, I love my system. My system's great. I don't need to do anything. But we do, because that's our hobby. You know, it's like we want to keep building. We want to keep adding. And it's like, God forbid you miss out on the next greatest thing because you missed a week of listening to Ara and Braden or Tom and Rob. And it's like, you don't hear them. And it's like, oh no, I missed out. I might have missed out on something. Or you missed out on Cedar or something, because what's the next greatest thing that's coming around the corner? And Jason is new to this. He's just starting out and he's imagining things over his head. Which maybe they are up there because the system is doing that. But that's it. That's the fun part. And as I was reading this email, I just kept thinking, like, this is what it's about, you know, and I really appreciate the email. And yes, I have seen The Witcher. I did a podcast on, I'm not sure if I talked about it here. I didn't focus on it. But I did a whole podcast on it on my Brightside chat podcast with John. We actually talked about the entire season. I actually watched the show twice because I didn't understand it the first time. I hadn't read the books. I didn't play the video games. So I didn't understand the timeline. And then John and I had talked about The Witcher, and then he said, oh, here, watch it with this map. And it was basically a timeline on what episodes fell where in the timeline. So when I did it that way, I was like, oh, this makes more sense. And it was even better. But it does. It has a great sound mix. Those ones you mentioned, Jason, are great. It is Netflix. We've said it many times. Netflix is probably the best at doing their picture and sound for streaming. And The Witcher is no exception. Witcher is really, really good. So that's quite a bit for this week. For comments, and I really enjoyed it. Keep them all coming. And Jason, I know Jason, actually, I forgot to mention this. Jason emailed me, I know he emailed me through the Nerdy Legion website, and he had clicked on the hyperlink, send us an email. And that hyperlink goes to, at the time, it went to Nerdy Legion. I didn't get it right away. I got it just this week. Martin, who runs the Nerdy Legion, had forwarded it to me, and he's like, I think this was for you. I was like, what gave it away? Titled DJ? But anyways, so I have since changed it. But if you've been emailing me and you're listening to this and I haven't commented on your email and you've emailed me and you've used that hyperlink, then I apologize, but you can always get me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. That's the email that comes directly to me, or you can tweet at me, DM me at BrightsideHT on Twitter. But the hyperlink I went in and I actually changed the hyperlink in my bio on the Nerdy Legion. So if you click sending an email there, it should come directly to me on that one. But just double check, make sure it says brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. I just want to make sure everybody's getting through. Actually, this is my most nervous part of the week doing this podcast. I'm always afraid I'm going to miss out on somebody, and I'm sure I have, and I apologize. I try to save everything in one place, but sometimes it doesn't save right. And then I realize later, I'm like, oh, I forgot to mention this, but, I hate to slight anybody, but a lot of great comments this week. Keep them coming. Like I said, email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com, or you can tweet at me at brightsidehT. Now let's go back to 1996 and Twister. And this movie I've watched so many times, year after year. I've owned this on Laserdisc all the way up to today, which is just the Blu-ray. We don't have 4K yet. But this was a demo Laserdisc. I loved playing this movie, and there's just so many scenes we're going to get to here. But R.I.P. Bill Paxton, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and they both look so young in this now, and it was actually kind of sad. I think this was the first time I've watched it since both of them have been gone. Maybe I pretty much watch it every year, but I don't know why I concentrated on it this year, because Philip Seymour Hoffman looks so young in this, and he's so great. He's a riot. But yeah, this movie here is just, it is a demo disc, and unfortunately it's not in 4K, but it is still demo material. There's so much fun stuff in here. So let's play this trailer and we'll get into it.
There is a mystery. Elusive, unpredictable, violent. It terrifies most scientists. But for a new breed, the challenge is saving lives. The research is deadly. The laboratory is nature itself.
And potentially, could be a storm that has a winds in excess. Worse at this point.
Joe! Bill! It's coming! Everybody underground now! Joe, come on!
In the crowd, take cover right now!
Joe! Joe, come on, hurry! Go, everybody down!
That's a great trailer. I remember watching that back in the 90s before this movie came out. And you see, I recommend going and checking out the trailer. I always add the trailer in the show notes because I play the whole trailer. And like that one there, not a lot of audio, like verbal audio, but that entire trailer, man, all the different noises that I'm going to talk about as we go through this movie, they're in that trailer that I remember hearing the making of. I didn't watch any making of this one. I just watched the movie. I remember hearing about like they used like tigers and different things to create these noises for the tornado to give it that animalistic feel. And you can hear that even in the trailer. So like I said, I recommend finding that trailer on YouTube, put that on in your theater too. And it's really, really nice. I mean, this whole movie is so much fun. It is so much fun. That's why I picked it this week. We had a tornado. Well, we actually did have some tornadoes in the area watches. I don't know if any touched down, but we had a hurricane watch up here, tropical storm. So I watched this the other day and it gets to that time of year. And I watch this movie every year when you get into that. As a matter of fact, while I was sitting down watching this movie, my daughter peeks in the room and she starts laughing. She's like, oh, she's like, you watching this because of the weather out? And I was like, it was nice that day, but we knew there was weather coming. And in my family, we embrace this stuff. We love the weather, the hunkering down. We have our generator has our house has a generator. And we love that whole environment of, you know, beating the elements or trying to. And this movie obviously sums all of that up. And to be hunkered down in your theater watching this movie, just a lot of fun. Getting to the picture. Picture's nothing really bad, nothing great. This is the 1080p version from 2008, the Blu-ray. And it looks nice, but like I said, nothing great, nothing bad. I would love to see this in 4K, obviously, because I think that if this went to 4K, most importantly, we would get the DTS:X version. And that would be tremendous on this movie. We'll get to that when we get to the sound. But I think the 4K, though, I don't know. Maybe they're waiting on this because it's one of those movies, even in 1080p, there's some green screen stuff that you're like, it's a little bit wonky. You're like, oh, I can see that they messed with the background, whether it's green screen or they recolored the background to make it look like a storm. But that's not what this is about. The black levels are really nice. I thought the black levels were pretty deep. I thought everything with shadows looked nice. There was some good detail in there for a 1080p movie, but that's not what this movie is about. This movie is another pop it in and just let this just assault you with sound, because that's what they did. This must have been a field day for the sound designers, sound engineers, because, I mean, really, who knows what it sounds like to be in a tornado? Nobody. I don't think, because if you were there, you're gone. So you can make it up. And they made it up. It sounds fantastic. The way they made the room spin, and I'll get into that when we go into specific scenes, but the sounds going around the room were just tremendous. And imagine this in a DTS:X or a Dolby Atmos where they actually use the overhead sounds for this. It would be unreal. And this is the movie to do it, because there's no, it's all in your imagination. There's no way for you to have a comparable experience to be like, oh yeah, yeah. When I was tied up to a pipe and I was being sucked up by a tornado, that's kind of what it sounded like. Nobody has that. So it's all made up. It's all for fun. And this whole movie is just, it's just so much fun. Let's get to the scenes. Oh, before I get to the scenes, I forgot to mention. Good thing I put it here in my notes. This movie, the 2008 version, defaults to the Dolby Digital 5.1. which runs a lot flatter than the Dolby True HD Lossless 5.1. So if you have the 2008 Blu-ray, it defaults to the lesser of the two. Don't know why. Don't know why they do that. Why you don't just default it to the better one, because if you don't have that system, it would automatically just play down anyways. No idea. You want to make sure you're in the Dolby True HD 5.1. That's where you get the best bass. That's where you get the best sound, obviously. So, okay. Now let's get to some scenes. And here we are at the opening. Every week seems like the opening. These movies have to grab you, and this one grabs you. Much like the trailer, they open up with some of those sounds and opening scenes. It's got some real nice thunder. Not really subtle, but not really great yet. And it's, you feel like it's like, ooh, that's nice thunder. But after watching this whole movie, the opening feels a little bit subdued right at the beginning, but then it ramps up and there's thunder all around. Like there's a storm a brewing and it's moving too. The thunder, you'll hear it over your head. You'll hear it from different speakers, from different sides of the room, different corners. There's creaking noises. Really, really great use of ambient sounds in a creaky old house that's about to take the brunt of a storm. And a great example of some clear dialogue. Like they threw some dialogue in here of the father and the mother yelling. But it was nice that they threw that in with all of everything else that's going on. And just to give you an idea of what's to come, and you have wind swirling around the room. Real nice bass rumbling your seat. Like you could feel it in your butt. Your seat is vibrating. My armrests were vibrating. Didn't feel anything in the chest. There was no thumping or anything like that. But it was a nice like vibration, as you could feel like their bunker vibrating. Your bunker is vibrating. But then you can also hear the screeching noises going around the room, the wind whistling and screaming and screeching, and all of the high-pitched noises mixed in with all of the nice bass noises. And like I said, the wind going around the room, there was one point I could feel the wind going, not literally feel it, but you could hear it going around the room in a counterclockwise motion. And then it changed like a tornado, like the wind of a storm would. And then as the dad gets sucked up, and you could feel the suction in the room. I don't know how they did it, if it's just the feel of that bass and then the wishing away or what, but you could feel that vortex, that sucking of him being sucked away. It really was visceral. Like I could feel it and I'm like, this is really nice. And I know I've experienced this movie before, but now sitting down knowing I'm going to be talking about it like this, I'm noticing things and feeling things that I didn't feel before, because you just go on because you know you're going to watch it again. But trying to translate it to you guys, I'm like, oh, I could feel that. So it was really, really nice. Next up, we're going to jump to 30 minutes and 35 seconds. Tighten your seatbelt. And this scene here is the first real tornado that we're going to see, other than the opening sequence that I just talked about. But this is the scene when Joe and Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt, first attack a tornado in the yellow pickup truck, I believe, and they get caught in the little gully off to the side. And the sound in this, when they first see it, you hear a little bit of a rumble of the tornado approaching a stormy area. Obviously, that's the tone throughout this movie. But when the truck first gets stuck into the gully, it's like first it's stuck on the left side, then it's stuck on the right side, then it's stuck on the left side again. They can't get out of it. They're stuck in this gully runoff area. And the noises that are going on all the while, Helen Hunt is looking over her shoulder, telling him where the tornado is. And you could just hear the growl from the tornado. It's that animalistic, that tiger noise that I mentioned earlier. And so you can hear that approaching, and then it grabs a top of the barn. I think it's a silo or something, and it tosses it. The tornado tosses it from the right side of your room, and you hear it flying across the room, and then it lands on the left side. And just the way that happens, it's, you know, you're in the truck with them. There's debris flying, landing all around you. When they get underneath, they crash the truck underneath and you can hear the storm come, the tornado coming. The bass is growling. The wind is going around the room. As it gets closer, the volume is going up and up. And like I said, nice growling bass, but all the while you could hear the high pitched debris landing all around your room. Crystal clear dialogue, crystal clear dialogue. Like when you hear Joe or she wants to see it and Bill Paxton is like, what are you doing? Like, where are you going? But in this story, in real life, there's no way you would have heard their voices. And I thought it was a real nice use of that. Then, of course, the boards rattling from the bridge that they're tying or hanging on to. The boards are rattling over your head. Metal screeching as the truck is grabbed and being pulled away. And then with all of that, with all of the bass growling, all of the wind around the room, then boom, gone. Like a tornado. Like it just disappears, dissipates. And that's it. Just amazing, that lack of sound after everything you've been through. It is kind of a relief. This next one is a lot of fun. It's really quick. It's at 41:32, and you can actually go maybe a little bit later than that, but it's 41:32. It's We Got Sisters, and this is the one where there's two tornadoes and they get wrapped up in it. What's nice about this one is the previous tornado experience we've had was wind and clutter and debris in a barn. This one adds rain. So you get that added element of the rain hitting the windshield of now they're in the red Dodge, the brand new Dodge, which this movie was basically a Dodge commercial. So you add that in, and they also added a cow for good measure. So that was a nice scene when the cow goes from the right side of the room to the left side. I'm sorry, from the left side of the room to the right side of the room. Then he comes back, but the pan on the way back, they didn't pan him on the way back. The cow only actually made noise towards the middle, I believe. This one had a really nice score to it. Some nice build up, but then when you finally get to the great part of the scene where the truck gets wrapped up in the sister tornadoes, whipping that truck around in a circle, and you have that, it's a screeching, bassy noise that's just overwhelming, and it's not even the screeching of Jamie Gertz's character, Dr. Reeves or whatever. It's the screeching of the tornado, but you can also hear her screeching in the back seat. And it's just a real quick whipping around and then it's gone. But it's a really, really good scene, really intense sound. This one would be a lot of fun if you could cue it up and not tell anybody what it was going to be. And then they just, like, you just hit them with this. The screeching is really loud and it's, and like I said, it adds the rain element and a nice little cow. With this one, I'm going to bring the room down a little bit at 48 minutes. Start this one at 48 minutes. This is not a reference scene. This is not one that's going to blow the speakers off the table. This is one of those scenes that I like because it's the other side. So, you know, I talk about how your room, you know, you blow the roof off your house, you vibrate your foundation. But the absence of sound is just as important. And this scene here is the one where they ask, is there an F5? And the build up to this scene, and I put this, like I said, at 48 minutes. You could start it at 47 minutes or so. They're all around the kitchen table at Meg's house. They're having steak and eggs and everything. And they're telling war stories and how Bill is the extreme and everything. And the whole room is, there's a lot of chatter going on. There's a lot of noise. There's clanking of dishes. There's a nice soundtrack playing. You know, they start telling about F1, F2, F3. And then, of course, Jamie Gertz's character asks, is there an F5? And the whole room goes quiet. And it's night, like all you can hear is the song that's playing and it's a very, you know, soft song, but it's that absence of sound that I love when they do that, especially in a movie like this where you're just getting overwhelmed and bombarded with sound. And it's just as effective to take your sound away as it is to, you know, bombard you with it. And we go right from that one being a little sentimental to this one, which is kind of sentimental to me, but a heck of a lot more fun. This one's at 53 minutes and 30 seconds. Call it Walk in the Woods. And this is where they just have Van Halen playing in the background. Right when they turn off, when they go for their, quote, Walk in the Woods, they make that right-hand turn and Van Halen starts blaring. It goes down a little bit when Bill Paxton starts to mic up Helen Hunt. You know, you have that, you know, little sexual chemistry going there, but the music goes down. Then they have a shot of it coming up over the hill. The camera's coming up over the hill, seeing the landscape. The music comes back up. I just really like this scene for Van Halen playing in the background. It's just a lot of fun. Again, not a reference scene, but I like it. It's a lot of fun, so check it out. But now it's, quote, time for deployment at 57 minutes and 25 seconds. This is the scene where they first try to deploy Dorothy. And this one here is the tornado doesn't actually get to them, but the build up to this one here, really nice score. They added hail to this scene. It seems every tornado we come up to, they're adding something else. And this one had hail, so you get the nice sound of hail hitting the windshield. You can hear the hail hitting the rooftop. This is another one of those scenes where I think in a Dolby Atmos or a DTS:X, you would actually get that effect of the hail hitting the rooftop over your head. Here, it's just you can hear it going on the sides of your room, a little bit on the top, the way they mix it, but it that tinny sound of it hitting the metal as opposed to the noise that it's hitting when it hits the front of the room, which is your screen. You can, it feels like it's hitting your windshield. There's nice thunder going on. When Bill Paxton gets the Dorothy going, you can hear the sirens really nice. Again, really nice dialogue throughout this entire scene. A lot of chatter going on the radio back and forth between Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton. When you hear Helen Hunt say we have debris, they have, you know, stuff is flying at them, things, you know, bicycles. This is kind of a weird road to see a little kid's bicycle get flown by, but bicycle goes by, branches just whooshing by you, going down the side of the room. The growling of the tornado again, really nice. And the score, really, really good, really strong here. And this is a really good scene. I wouldn't say it's a reference scene. It ends pretty quickly again, too. Tornado just like goes away and that's it. Then you have the nice rain scene where they talk to each other in there and tell their true feelings for each other. All right. Now we're getting to the good stuff here. This is the iconic scene, I think. It's at 1 hour, 9 minutes, 15 seconds. I've labeled it. It's coming. It's for the scene where Philip Seymour Hoffman, Dusty, he yells, "It's coming, it's coming." So they're at the drive-in. At 1 hour, 9 minutes, and 15 seconds is pretty early on, so you can get the that silence before the storm, that calm. And it's, you know, a little bit of wind, but you can also feel the nice rumbles in the background. You've got multiple subs playing. You're going to really feel this in the background. Very subtle undertones, if you will, but really nice as the storm is coming. Not the entire time. It's just you kind of like if you're hungry, your stomach goes grrr, and then it goes away. So you can feel it coming up, but it subtle, nice subtle wind too as well. But then the growling starts to build as the storm gets closer. Then of course you have the scene when Dusty yells, "It's coming." Then the big thunder and lightning as they look past the drive-in screen, which has The Shining playing on it. You look past that and it's just the big thunder noises. But then here we go. The air raid sounds go off. You can hear those in the background. I actually felt those from behind me as the storm is coming from in front of me. But then the storm sounds overwhelm everything. And this is where we just get creaking, you get glass shattering, your discrete channels, sounds coming from different places. This is where it's just like, I don't know if it's the right word, the cacophony of sound, it's just everything coming at you. And where it must have just been so much fun as a sound designer, there's no doubt in my mind that, when you're a creator here, people put their like kids in there. They put like, honey, if you listen to this part right here, that's you talking to me. And they just threw it in, because I've done that with artwork for people and be like, if you look over here, I signed your name or I wrote your name in here, but you can't tell. And only if you point it out, there's no, and you hear that in animation all the time too. You find subliminal things or things people hide into old Disney films and stuff. And don't get me started on that road, but there's no doubt people put noises and sounds of their kids and their wives and their loved ones into this, because you can't tell. There's so much going on. There's kids screaming in the background, little kid, but it's part of the wind, it's part of the noise, and this scene has it all. I mean, they throw a car at you. I mean, what the heck, why not? Then they threw the drive-in sign at you, which, by the way, this entire scene turned out to be a ride at Universal Studios. I was lucky enough to be able to go on this ride back in 99. My wife couldn't go on it. She was pregnant with my daughter at the time, so she couldn't go on this ride. And I believe that sign comes crashing at you, the drive-in sign at Universal Studios. So it was, this scene became a ride. So it's that crazy. It's that much fun. It's over 5 minutes long. This is definitely a reference scene. Again, if they ever put this out in 4K with an Atmos or DTS:X mix, oh, unbelievable. I mean, it sounds so nice right now, but can you imagine if they ramped it up and it became more discreet and the sound designers had a field day with this in a Dolby Atmos or a DTS:X mix? It would be insane. And this whole scene ends right. They go right to a shot of Judy Garland, and not a scene from Wizard of Oz either. It's another, I don't know what movie it is, but it's another movie she was in, and it's a black and white scene of Judy Garland. Nice little reference to Wizard of Oz and tornadoes and houses being displaced. This next one's a quickie. Comes up at 1:18, 38 seconds. It's called No Warning. And this is them approaching the town when Meg's house has been destroyed. And they're, if you come in at 1:18 and 38 seconds, they're coming down the street and there's a lot of nice ambient sounds going on. Just the, you know, from everything that has happened there, you can hear stuff going down the side of your room. Sounds like stuff is off in the distance. Really good use of ambient sounds here as they drive through the town. And then that plays right into them going into Meg's house. And then the echoes of the house, of them inside the house. And then the noises and the creaking of the house as it's beginning to crumble around them. And, subtle use of bass here and there. Sirens playing in the background when they're in the house. And then, of course, you have nice use of bass as the house falls and crumbles in on itself, of course, after they've gotten out of it. Really nice scene. Not as intense as any of these other scenes, but a really nice scene nonetheless. All right, we're into the peak of the movie here. This is where the storms start coming at you fast and furious. And this one is at 1 hour, 28 minutes, and 8 seconds. And this one's called Too Light. And this is, it's just another scene of just fun sounds whipping around your room. This is when they try to get the pack down to Dorothy 3, I believe this is. Yeah, 3, because they had 4 of them. So there's one left after this. This one's Too Light. It gets taken out by the tree that gets thrown at it. The tree comes at them. They get stuck on it. But all the while, I mean, you have tires screeching. You have the storm, the growling, winds whipping around the room. I can't keep saying that, but that's what's happening. And then, of course, they try to get away, and there's a tanker truck. It knocks them off of the branch, and then the tanker truck drops in front of them and explodes. So you have a really nice explosion. Some nice use of flames going, like, you're not in the truck when they go through the flames, but it feels and sounds like you are, because the flames go down and around your room. And then they come out the other side. And of course, I think it's Dusty's like, did you see that explode? Or somebody says, did you see that explosion? And they're like, yeah. So, the next scene isn't much after this. It's at 1 hour, 33 minutes and 15 seconds. We have the devastating loss of Jonas, played by Cary Elwes, and that, I mean, devastating, I'm saying it jokingly, because he was kind of a jerk in this movie, the character was, but the devastation, the heavy, heavy bass in this scene, it's really quick, but then there's the whistling noise afterwards that, so their truck gets picked up, the driver, I don't know who he was, the driver gets impaled by the radio tower equipment coming through the windshield, and then the truck gets scooped up, it flies around the tornado, and you can hear it whistling like a torpedo or a missile before it hit, or a bomb, I should say, before it hits the ground and explodes. But then you don't even have to do anything. It just goes right. The next scene is the farm equipment at 1 hour, 34 minutes and 50 seconds. You just keep letting this thing play out. I'm going to list off a few here, but this is where they're like, Helen Hunt says, you know, Dusty, we have debris. And Bill Paxton's like, debris? Because things are coming, pieces of farm equipment are being blown across the road. They're dodging things or flying over them. It's just a blast of everything going by you. It's so much fun. And this is the part where I'm like, yep, this is an amusement park ride. This movie was just made for sound designers. I can't say that enough. It's just a blast going in. Then, of course, speaking of going in, they go into a house. They drive through a house. Don't ask me how they go upstairs and out a back window and never come out the same level that they were on. But they're going in, or Bill Paxton yells, "We're going in." And then you hear the noise of the house going by you the entire, you know, down your room, like you're going through the house. And then, of course, they come out and the stuffed animal hits the windshield and you can actually hear the little stuffed animal squeak. Pretty cool, but it's just so much fun. Then we go to 1 hour, 37 minutes and 35 seconds. And this is the scene when they go through the cornfield. They jump out of the truck and they let Dorothy go attached to the truck and they yell, "Go, go, go." And all the little balls go up. It's a pretty cool little sound there as all the little balls inside of Dorothy go up into the tornado and the little electronic buzzing starts to whip around your room. It's cool, pretty cool little scene there. But then from there, it's, you know, just like I said, keep letting it play because now we're getting to the climax and they've got to run from this tornado, this F5 that's chasing them. Suppose it's kind of like Jaws, you know. Shark chasing people, tornadoes chase people, I guess. It is a Spielberg movie. But this is just more tremendous bass and just everything. And when I say tremendous bass, I don't mean it's not hitting you in the chest. It's a different kind. That's what's so much fun about bass. There's different levels of it. There's different intensities of it. But it's so much fun if you have a good bass system. And like this one here, you're feeling it in your seat, the rumble as the room is shaking and things are moving. Perceiving to be moving because they're not actually moving. Lot of good pans in this one. Lot of good stuff whipping by from left to right. Discrete sounds happening on one side or in a corner of the room. Lot of stuff going on in here as they run from it. And then, of course, they tie themselves up to the pipes. And then we have that, I don't care if you call it hokey or not, it's still a blast to watch, but their feet get sucked up and you're looking up into the tornado. And then now you have those sounds, you're inside a tornado. So you really get that feel, that sense of the wind whipping around your room, around you as you're sitting there. And then you can hear the little like lightning sounds, electric charges going off inside the tornado, but they're like, you know, you'll hear one at the front right corner, then the back left or back right and back, you know, just little subtly going off and it giving you that sense of immersion that you, I mean, who's ever experienced this? I don't know. Has anybody? I don't know. Just a great, great use of sound here. And again, you know, sound designer's dream, just throw in whatever you want here. This movie was so much fun. It is so much fun. I'll watch it again next year. It's that time of year. My kids pop it in every now and then that, you know, oh, we just went through a tornado or a hurricane. Let's watch Twister. It's just a fun, fun movie. Really hope it gets a 4K treatment someday and boy, will that be a blast to review. I will have so much fun with that one. And again, I usually don't care if it's Atmos or DTS, but DTSX in this case, I think would just, that bass would be so much better. I actually AB'd a few of these scenes with just going back and forth between the True HD and the normal Dolby Digital, and what a difference that was. So can you imagine if you just ramped it up to a DTSX mix, which, you know, DTS, they love to add a little extra bass in there. So how much fun would this be? It's still a blast to do now. I know it's still pretty cheap. I didn't do any kind of spoiler thing today because this is an older movie. It's a movie about Twisters. There's not really much given away here, much that even if you haven't seen it, that I could spoil on you. But that's it for this week. Thanks to all the listeners for the listener participation. Really appreciate all of that. If you want to take part in listener participation, you can contact me on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. I spoke a little earlier about a little snafu with email. If you've used that other email, or if you think you have, just use the brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. I'm trying to get that other one taken down, but that's the one if you want to email me if you're not on Twitter, or of course you can DM me on Twitter or just tweet at me. Great conversations, lots of great ideas, a lot of great recommendations, having a blast. Thanks to everybody. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. I'll be back next week. Now go push play.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.